إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن الأصدق الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد فنسأل الله رب العرش العظيم أن ينفعنا ويباركنا في هذه الليلة إن شاء الله tonight's topic إن شاء الله will be مفاتيح الخير the keys to goodness and he's taking from الرسائل the Sheikh عبد الرزاق ابن عبد المحسن is a sheikh from Medina and he is the son of the famous sheikh Sheikh Abdul Muhsin. He compiled a little risala Mafatih al-Khair, those keys to the goodness, and he starts off by mentioning, it's an important note, Ya Ikhwan, and the reason we chose this as well, that last lesson or the last time we was here, the last muhadara, we talked about the da'wah of Rusul was Tawheed, and within that muhadara, we mentioned the fadl of kalimat la ilaha illallah. So the Shaykh in this particular risala, he mentions a lot of good points regarding the 8 points, the shurut of la ilaha illallah. So this is why, inshallah, this is what we decided to do this evening. He said, to start off with, he said, from one of the most important things and the great forms of blessing is that an abd, a slave, he can distinguish between good and evil. That he has ilm, that he has knowledge of things which are good and things which are evil. And that he knows the mafatih, he knows those the openings or the keys that were either leading to good or that were leading to evil. And he said, indeed, if an individual understands that, that is a great ni'mah. That is indeed a good virtue to have. Al-Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, al-miftah, he gives the definition of a miftah. He said, ma yuftah bihi shay mughlaq, fayyakun fatihan lah. And then he says, al-miftah, the key, is that it opens, a key opens something which is closed. Then that key becomes a means for that thing to be opened, that thing which was closed, it becomes a means for that to be opened, that particular key. And then he brings the example, miftahul jannah, la ilaha illallah. And he said, the key of paradise, or the opening of paradise, is indeed the kalimata la ilaha illallah. That there is no deity worthy of worship, except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مفاتيح الجنة شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله. That he mentions in Musnad, I mean Imam Ahmad mentions in his Musnad, he says under authority of Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, verily the opening or the keys to paradise is to bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except for Allah alone. And likewise أبو النعيم من حديث أنس قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أو قال قال العربي إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رسول الله ما مفتاح الجنة قال لا إله إلا الله. That the Bedouin Arab came to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and said, O Messenger of Allah, what are the keys or what is the opening to paradise? Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied by saying, there is no deity worthy of worship. Sheikh Abdul Razak mentions that even though in these two narrations here, then maybe some element of ضعف. There are some رجال, there are some narrators in here that may be weak. But he said the meaning is correct. He said the meaning of the hadith is correct. And that is the qima and the weightiness of that kalima of La ilaha illallah. And then he brings a narration which is authentic. He says, hadith Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما منكم من أحد يتوضى فيبلغ أو يصبغ الوضوء ثم يقول أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله إلا فتح له أبواب الجنة الثمانية يدخل من أي حاشا رواه المسلم. عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه said that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there is not one of you except that he performs the wudu in the correct fashion. He carries out all of the hukuk of the wudu in the correct fashion. Then he says, I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except for Allah alone, and that Muhammad is his slave and final messenger. Except, listen to this, ya ikhwan, listen to the fadl and the rahm of Allah, except that the eight doors of paradise were open and he may choose whichever door he wishes to enter. Likewise, so here Sheikh Abdul Razak goes on to mention that, ya ikhwan, this is a clear cut proof of the fadl of Tawheed. So Tawheed, singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at the fadl that one can reach by entering paradise. And then he says, al-mafum al-khalif, the opposite understanding is that if an individual does not come with tawheed, then the doors of paradise for that individual will not open. That is al-mafum al-khalif, the opposite understanding. If we've established with tawheed, that is one of the greatest means of entering paradise, then we know that from the means that will stop you from entering paradise, ya ikhwan, that is to ascribe partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he brings an ayah as a form of witness of what he just mentioned. قال الله عز وجل لا تفتح لهم أبواب السماء ولا يدخلون الجنة حتى يلج الجمل في السم الخياط. And he brings a verse, and for them the gates of the heavens will not open and they will not enter paradise until a camel goes through the eye of a needle, because they did not come with tawheed. So ya ikhwan, the fadl of tawheed and the kalimat of la ilaha illallah has great virtues. Lakin, as the shaykh mentions, this kalima azim has conditions, shurut, it has conditions. And the intent here is not that one merely utters the shahadatain, la, the shurut. And ahl al-ilm, hadithan wa qadiman, used to put down and emphasize on the shurut of la ilaha illallah, that with that kalima comes shurut. And there are some athar regarding that. Dhakhar al-Bukhari fi sahih and Wahab ibn Munabbih أنه قيل له أليس لا إله إلا الله مفتاح الجنة. That it was said to Wahab ibn Munabbah, it was said to him, isn't it not so that the kalimat of la ilaha illallah, that to say that there is no deity worthy of worship except for Allah alone, is that not the key to paradise? And then he said, فقال بلى ولكن ليس المفتاح إلا له أسنان. He says, indeed, it's true, but there is not a key except that he has teeth. Every single key has to have teeth, meaning grooves. فَإِن جِئْتَ بِمِفْتَاحْ لَهُ الْأَسْنَانِ فُتِحَ لَكْ. He said, verily, if you come with a key that has grooves, then the doors of paradise will open. وَإِلَّا لَمْ يُفْتَحْ لَكْ. And if you come with a key that does not have teeth, it will not open the doors of paradise. So here, يُشِيرُ بِذَلِكْ إِلَى الشُّرُوط لَا إِلَهَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Here it says, is an indication from this athar that the intent of the miftah and the intent of the asnan, the teeth, is what, ya ikhwan? The miftah is what?
The key.
But what is the intent here? The kalimat la ilaha illallah. And the asnan, the teeth, which is referring to here in this hadith, is what? Is the conditions, asantum. And this is why Al-Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah mentions in his Manzuma Nuniya words that are similar to that in the Fasal fi Miftah Bab al-Jannah, in the chapter The Key to the Doors of Paradise. He mentions وَهَذَا وَفَتْحُ الْبَابِ لَيْسَ بِمُمْكِنٍ إِلَّا بِمِفْتَحْ عَلَى الْأَسْنَانِ. He said that this door, meaning the door of paradise, it's not possible that it will open except that it has asnan. And then he mentioned miftahahu bi shahadat al-ikhlas wa tawheed. He said the miftah, the key, is that you bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship sincerely, and likewise that you single Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out alone in worship. And then he says asnanahu a'mal wa hiya shara' al-islam. He said, and his asnan are the actions, the legislated actions of Islam. So with that there is shurut, and those shurut is to carry out those actions. And this, ya ikhwan, is a rad or refutation of those individuals that say when you give them dawah regarding that, you know, let your beards grow, why don't you pray? You hear this famous statement which they mentioned, that al-iman fil qalb, I have iman here, brother, I believe, and it's sufficient. La, every key, ya ikhwan, has to have asnan. And as Ahl al-Ilm and the Salaf mentioned, these asnam are the actions of the legislations of Islam. Likewise, another example of how the Salaf was staunch upon this particular matter is the author on Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, annahu qila lahu inna an-nas yaqulun man qala la ilaha illa Allah dakhala al-jannah. It was said to Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah that verily people say, the people are saying, that whomsoever bears witness that there is no deity worthy of worship will enter paradise. فَقَالْ مَنْ قَالَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ فَعَدَّ حَقَّهَا وَفَرْضَهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. He said, whomsoever says that, but carries out his condition and his obligations, he is the one that will enter paradise. And likewise, in another athar, it mentions that Hassan said to Farzdaq, and this Farzdaq, he was burying his wife at that particular time. He was burying his wife. So Hassan al-Basri mentioned to him, مَا عَدَّ لِهَذَا الْيَوْمِ. He says, what have you done to prepare for this day? What meaning? That this individual was burying his wife. So Hassan al-Basri was present, and then he turned to the husband who's burying his wife. He says, what have you done to prepare for this particular day today? Meaning, when you're going to die and you're going to be buried, what have you prepared? What are you going to put forth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then he replied, Shahadatun la ilaha illallah mundhu sab'eena sana. He said, verily, I have prepared the kalimat of la ilaha illallah, and I've been preparing that for over 70 years. فَقَالَ الْحَسَنَ الْبَصْرِ. So Hassan al-Basri said to him, نِعْمَ الْعُدَّةِ. He said, what a blessed preparation. Meaning, mashallah, that's something indeed good. وَلَكِنْ. But, لَكِنْ لِلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ شُرُوطًا. Now verily, for that kalima of la ilaha illallah, there are conditions. فَإِيَّاكَ وَخَذْذَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ. He said, so beware that you do not throw away your righteous actions. And then he mentioned the author which we mentioned earlier, and he mentioned the author of Wahab ibn Munabba. He said that verily, every miftah, it has to have teeth and grooves. If you come with a miftah that has teeth, then the doors of paradise will open for you. Other than that, they will not open. So ya ikhwan, here a clear indication, ya ikhwan, that kalimat la ilaha illallah that has shurut. So then one may raise the question that is it present in any of the ahadith or any ayat clearly stating the conditions of La ilaha illallah, you will find that there's no clear cut dalil mentioning that. But he mentions, ثُمَّ إِنَّهُ بِالْإِسْتِقْرَارِ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ لِلنُّسُوسِ كِتَابِ وَالسُنَّةِ تُبَيِّنْ أَنَّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ تُقْبَلْ إِلَّا بِسَبْعَةُ الشُّرُوطِ. He said, بِالْإِسْتِقْرَارِ, by them researching and أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ researching and looking into the books and looking into the nusus of the Quran and the Sunnah, they have extrapolated that the kalimat of La ilaha illallah has seven conditions. And inshallah, now we're going to cover the seven conditions with dalil, bi-idhnillah. So ya ikhwan, it's extremely important that those individuals have memorized these seven conditions, and alhamdulillah, that this sticks with them and they carry on reminding themselves. Those brothers that have not yet memorized these seven conditions, then have your pens and papers ready, ya ikhwan. I'll mention the seven first, sari'an, so you have it written down. And then we'll go back, and inshallah we'll bring dalil for every condition. He says, the first condition, al-ilm, and that is to have knowledge. And the opposite of ilm is jahl, ignorance. Second one, al-yaqeen, to have certainty. And the opposite of certainty is shak, is to doubt. Thalithan, al-ikhlas, sincerity. And the opposite of that is shirk and riya, to ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to be of those characteristics of the hypocrites, or even those individuals who even fall into showing off. Rabi'an, as-sidq, truthfulness. And the opposite of that, taba'an, is kadhib, is to lie, or lying. Khamisan, muhabba, and that is to have love. And the opposite of that is bughd, wal karaha, and that is to have hatred and to dislike a thing. Sitta, al-inqiyad, and that is to submit, submission and compliance. The opposite of that is tark, and that is to reject. And the seventh is al-qabul, to acceptance. And the opposite of that is ar-rad, is to reject. Some of Ahlul Ilm have mentioned that there's an eighth condition, but inshallah we'll cover that at the end of the lesson, inshallah, the eighth condition. An easy way to memorize this, ya ikhwan, Ahlul Ilm have compiled a nice little line of poetry to make it easy, ya ikhwan, for you to memorize the conditions. And that is, علم يقين وإخلاص وصدقك مع محبة وإنقياد والقبول لها. طيب, I'll say it again, inshallah, if somebody can bring it back. العلم يقين إخلاص وصدقك مع محبة وإنقياد والقبول لها. That basically to have knowledge and certainty and sincerity, wasidquka, and to believe you with love and submission and acceptance of everything what is mentioned. That is an easy way, small line of poetry, that you've memorized all the seven conditions. Anybody can bring that back? Any Imam Bukhari's? Al-Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, based on Hibl, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, when we were studying Hadith in Medina, they mentioned some of the kisses of Imam Bukhari. Wallahi ajeeb. It's hard to comprehend how a man can possibly do that. Do you know the famous story when, I think, he went to Baghdad, and he was only young at age, he was very, very young in age, but yet, because of his ilm, his name became muntashir. So when he was going to a certain place, the people said, the muhaddithin there, we're going to test him. We're going to test him. So what they did, 10 individuals took 10 hadith, each one of them took 10 hadith, and took the isnad of one hadith and put it with another hadith. So they took the chain of this hadith and they put it with another hadith. So all 10 of them had 10 hadith, so every single one of them did that. So 10. So 10 times 10 is come?
100.
So when he came to the time to test him, they were throwing all of this hadith to him. حَدَثَنَا فُلَان حَدَثَنَا 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 قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. They bring the hadith. Imam Bukhari said, لَا عَدْرِي. I don't know this hadith with this chain. Then he finished his 10. Then he did his 10. Then he did his 10. Until all 10 of them brought 100 isnad and 100 hadith. And they was like, he's supposed to be Imam Bukhari, Al-Hafiz Al-Hadith. And then he says, as for you, the chain that you brought, حَدَثَنَا 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 قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, is for this hadith. And then he did that to all 10. Then he did that with all 10 there, with 100 hadith, ya ikhwan. Hearing it only once. هَذَكَ. This is how Imam Bukhari was, rahimahullah ta'ala. His ilm. So we bring the proofs now, inshallah. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, says, no, that there is no deity worthy of worship except for Allah alone. Here, indicating the first thing before knowing the condition is no. Allah refers to no, refers to ilm. So that's the first proof. Thaniyan, hadith Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu qal, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man mata wa huwa ya'lam annahu la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah. That under the authority of Uthman ibn Affan said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whomsoever dies knowing, ya'lam, knowing that there is no deity worthy of worship except for Allah, he will enter paradise. فَاشْتَرَتَ عَلَيْهِ الْعِلْمِ. So the condition here is ilm. طيب شرط الثاني يقين. And that is the individual has pure yaqeen in Allah and His Messenger, and he does not doubt. قال الله عز وجل إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله ثم لم يرتابوا. That's the shart. وجاهدوا بأموالهم وأنفسهم في سبيل الله أولئك هم الصادقون. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, only those are the believers who have believed in Allah and His Messenger, and afterwards they doubt not. That's the shart. They have no shak. ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُ. Al-Mufassirun say ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُ means have no shak. They do not doubt. Meaning they do not doubt in Allah and His Messenger. And they strive with their wealth and their lives for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ikhwan, what's the rabit? What's the connection of this ayah with the shahadatain? Aywa? ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُ. No. يرتابو, that is the shahid. That is that we have to have yakin. But in the ayah, how does that have an alaqa with the shahadatain? With the shahadatain. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. What's that ربط with the shahadatain? The rabt is that verily those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and likewise in the shahada you bear witness to Allah and His Messenger. That's what the Shaykh mentioned is the rabt. Likewise, في صحيح مسلم عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأني رسول الله لا يلقى الله بهما عبد غير شاك فيهما إلا دخل الجنة. Muslim narrates on the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, to bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship, and I am the Messenger of Allah, that he meets his Lord with these two shahadatain, and he does not doubt regarding them. That's the shahid. He does not غير الشاكين, that he does not doubt except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter me into paradise. So ya ikhwan, here a dalil that you have to have, here you have to have no doubt, you have yaqeen. So the shart here is yaqeen. Thalithan, al-ikhlas, sincerity, ya ikhwan. And the opposite of that is, as we mentioned, is al-riya or shirk. قال الله عز وجل ألا لله الدين الخالص. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, surely the religion is for Allah, i.e. that he should be worshipped alone, for the sake of Allah only. Ikhlas. وقال الله عز وجل وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين. Allah the Most High says, and they were commanded not, but they should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. And worship Allah sincerely and not ascribe any partners with Him. Likewise, we have the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, every action is judged by his intention. And on that note, ya ikhwan, it's a reminder to myself and to my brothers as well, that ya ikhwan, the affair of ikhlas, sincerity, is indeed, ya ikhwan, something that we should ponder upon and we should reflect upon. Because ya ikhwan, from that small thing can change the whole situation of your ibadah. Two individuals can be doing the same thing, but yet one is having rewarded his Lord and one la shay. And the Salaf used to say one of the hardest things which they had to fight with was ikhlas. Fighting the ikhlas, ya ikhwan. Because indeed, mankind is created, وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانَ ضَعِيفًا. Mankind is created ضَعِيف. And from the nature of mankind, he loves to be praised. That's just the nature of mankind, that he loves to be praised. So we should always remind ourselves, ya ikhwan. And on that note, I'd like to mention a hadith, and I'll paraphrase the hadith, because it's a very, very long hadith. Is of those individuals, the three that will be brought forth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. Who are the three, ya ikhwan? The shaheed, the alim, and the person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with amples of wealth. The shaheed, ya ikhwan, will be brought forth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Yawm al-Qiyamah. And Allah will question him that, why did you strive, why did you fight? And he will say, for your cause, ya Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to him, kathabt, indeed you have lied. Verily, you fought so that people would say that you are a brave man, and my man was courageous. Faqad keel. And this is the scary part, ya ikhwan, because faqad keel, it mentioned in the hadith that it was said. And in order, ya ikhwan, this is a fact that we got from some of our mashaykh, they said, in order for the people to say faqad keel, for the people to say he actually carried out those actions, ظاهر, he must have carried out those actions which were apparent to the other people, that was actions of khair, fighting the cause of Allah. And he went and he fought and he did get killed. But ya ikhwan, he goes on to mention فَقَدْ كِيلَ, and then he'll be dragged onto his face and casted into the hellfire, because he'll have no reward with Allah, because he sought the reward with the people. And he's got his reward. فَقَدْ كِيلِ, because the people said, indeed, this man was courageous. So ya ikhwan, look, he did the action. It's not even those that he didn't have the action. Likewise, the state of the alim. The alim, the same thing. When he'll be brought forth to Allah, Allah will question him regarding his knowledge. And he will say, verily, I learned the knowledge for your cause and to spread the word. Then Allah will say, كَذَبْتْ, you have lied. Verily, you sought the knowledge so the people could say, MashaAllah, ذَاكَ عَالِمًا. Verily, he is very, very knowledgeable. And in one narration, it mentions the Qari, the one who recites the Qur'an in a very beautiful fashion. So it was said, MashaAllah, he was a Qari or he was a Alim. So he has no reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. Thrown onto his hellfire, dragged onto his face and thrown into the hellfire. Here once again, ya ikhwan, for the people to say that he was an alim, he must have had something by way of ilm. And for people to say that he was a qari, He must have had something by way of knowledge of tajweed and a beautiful voice. So the frightening thing, ya ikhwan, that a person may have ilm, and a person may recite in a beautiful manner, but if that niya, ya ikhwan, is not correct, then that will have no weight, ya ikhwan. And last is the individual that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed with wealth. And likewise you will be questioned, and he will say, I did it for your cause. Allah will say, kadhabt, verily you said it so that people could say that mashallah, innahu jawad, verily he is a very generous individual. Faqad qil, and it was said, and he has likewise no reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and cast it into the hellfire. So ya ikhwan, alaykum bil ikhlas. And this is, I said that to myself first, ya ikhwan, and then to my brothers. The fourth condition, as-sidq, truthfulness. That indeed we must be truthful in those things that we are uttering in the shahadatain. قال الله عز وجل إذا جاءك المنافقون قالوا نشهد إنك لرسول الله والله يعلم إنك لرسوله والله يشهد إن المنافقين لكاذبون. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if the munafiqun, the hypocrites, come to you and they say that we bear witness that you are the messenger of Allah, Allah says in the verse, and Allah knows that you are his messenger, and Allah bears witness that these, that they are hypocrites and they are liars. So ya ikhwan, here the Shaykh clearly mentions that here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the munafiqun and what they have in their chest as hypocrites and kathib and lying. So we have to be truthful in the shahadatain. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions alif lam mim ahasib an-nasu an yutraku an yaqulu amanna wa hum la yuftanun wa laqad fatanna alladhina min qablihim فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, does mankind think that they will say, we believe, and they will be left, and they will not be brought to trial? Indeed, or they will not be put to test? Indeed, we tested those before them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will know those who are truthful and those who are liars. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indeed has the ilm al-ghayb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows whether they're truthful or not. But here is a shahid here, as Ahl al-ilm say, it's a shahid to show that one must have sidq. Al-shart al-khamis, al-muhabba, to have love. And the opposite of love, muhabba, is bughd. Qala Allah azza wa jal, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادَيْنِ يُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حَبًّا لِلَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and there are from mankind, and from mankind are some who take others besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as rivals to Allah. They worship Allah, they worship other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They love these idols like they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah mentions the shahid. But those who believe in Allah, verily their love is by far more than anything else. Their love is more. So here yashtarat, as Ibn Kathir says, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ishtarata that you have to have muhabba, that you have to have muhabba for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in a narration, the Prophet alayhi wasallam said that one of the greatest virtues of iman is that you love for the sake of Allah and you hate for the sake of Allah. Tayyib al-qabul, acceptance. And the opposite is rad. Tayyib, qala Allah azza wa jal, innahum kanu idha keela lahum la ilaha illallah yastakbirun. ويقولون أئنا لا تاركوا آلهتنا لشاعر مجنون. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, truly when it is said to them, say that there is no deity worthy of worship, they turn away in pride. And then they say, are we to leave our gods for this mad poet? This is a proof, ya ikhwan, for qabool. Who can bring me the rabt? Who can bring me the shahid of this ayah? Where's the shahid in the ayah? Okay. Truly, when it is said to them, say, La ilaha illallah, they turn away in pride. And then they say, Are we supposed to leave our gods? Like, leave off our gods for this mad poet? How is that a proof for qabool? For acceptance? When he came to them, say kalimat la ilaha illallah, they rejected it. They did not accept it. They rejected. Walakhiran ya ikhwan, al-inqiyad. Tayyib Abdul Latif, al-inqiyad. And that is submission. Qala Allahu azza wa jal, may yuslim wajhahu ila Allah wa huwa muhsinun فَقَدْ إِسْتَمْسَكَ الْبِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whomsoever submits his face to Allah azza wa jal while he is a muhsin. Muhsin meaning that he singles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in worship and carries out righteous actions. Then he has held on to the most trustworthy handhold, and that is the kalimata la ilaha illallah. And here Allah refers la ilaha illallah to al-urwatul wuthqa. Al-urwatul wuthqa, here the mufassirun say, is the kalimata of la ilaha illallah. And to Allah return all matters of decision. That, inshallah, we have finished this. We have finished the 7 points. That is zahir what Ahl al-Ilm say, there are 7 points. But some of Ahl al-Ilm, and from them, is our Shaykh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab Ibn Ali Al-Wasabi from Yemen. He with his book Al-Qawl Al-Mufid, and in here he brings the 8th condition. And if you analyze the 8th condition, ya ikhwan, yeah, the 7 conditions do cover it somewhat. But min ziyadat al-ta'keed, he says that is kufr bit-tawaghit. Kufr bit-tawaghit. And that is that you disbelieve in anything which is taken in form of worship with besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tawaghit doesn't necessarily have to be idols, ya ikhwan. Ahl al-ilm have said that a taghut can be someone that allows people to worship him. It can be even a person. A taghut, anything which is taken in form of worship. And here the 8th condition is al-kufr bitawaghit. And that is to disbelieve in anything which is worshipped alongside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he brings a form of proof. He says, قال الله عز وجل, he says, فَمَنْ يَقْفُرْ بِالتَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ إِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. He says, that whomsoever disbelieves in the tawaghit, whoever disbelieves in tawaghit, and he believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then indeed he has held on to a stronghold, which is the urwatul wuthqa, which is kalimat la ilaha illallah. But just one question, ya ikhwan, before we come to an end. I want to see who the fahimeen are. We have hufaz and we have fahimeen, we have fuqaha as well. So inshallah, my question is, ya ikhwan, if an individual submits to something, if an individual submits, pay attention to this, ya ikhwan. If an individual submits to something, doesn't that necessitate that he has accepted it? What is the need for us to have 7 conditions? Why did Ahl al-Ilm make a distinguish? Why did they distinguish between inqiyad and qabool? To submit, submission. Because when somebody submits to something, in actuality he's accepted. But why have they made these two different conditions and not one? Where's the fuqaha? Okay, we got a few. Aywa?
Could it be maybe that sometimes you submit not willingly?
You're close. You're round the same realm. You're close. It's very, very close. The question is, why if someone submits to something, then wouldn't we say that qubool automatically comes with that submission? But yet Ahl ilm have still said qubool and submission, two different things. Why is that? Aywa?
Yeah, as in, when you submit, you could submit to the thing, but then again, if you submit to something else at the same time, then automatically the first submission becomes invalid, because the fact that when you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you haven't fulfilled the conditions of laying anywhere besides worshipping Allah, something besides Allah, yeah, then that automatically kind of...
You started out on the right track, but then you... There you are.
Is that you can submit
okay.
to something openly, but inwardly, it could be that you haven't submitted it to it. Like, for example, if a group of men come to you and
they
pick you up with a gun, you've submitted, but in yourself, you're still thinking, oh, when I've got the chance, I'll go back to this tawhut or to this asi that you're doing from before.
Jindan, you've kind of hit it on the nail. I just need someone to like polish it off with some nice wording and an example. Jindan, close. Aywa?
Is it that, you may accept something,
Aywa?
But you don't act out with the actions.
Oh, you started off fantastically. Yep. So Qubool, you accept it,
but you don't submit to it.
You don't submit to it. Assent. Right. You can accept something, but you don't have to submit to it. I'll give you an example. The uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he accept what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with was the truth? He did, but did he submit to it? Did he take the shahada? That's the farq. Likewise, Fir'aun, at the end, he believed and he knew within himself that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true God, but he would not submit. So this is why Ahlul Ilm, this shows you, Ya Ikhwan, that how our religion is the religion of the truth. And may Allah preserve and forgive the scholars and of their sins, and give them rahmatan wasi'ah, those who have passed away, and those who are living, may Allah preserve them, to show you the fadl of Ahlul Ilm. Look how daqiq, look how dikka they were when they brought these shurut down, Ya Ikhwan. Aqulu qawla hadha wa astaghfiruka wa atubu alayki. If there are any questions, Ya Ikhwan, or corrections, I'm open to advice. Jazakumullahu khairan.